This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Why did you choose to be anti-Zionist?
I did my research and started listening to narratives outside of those that I was raised from.
Okay.
And the context for my family history, I'll just sort of set the standard there with that, is so my great-grandpa immigrated into British Palestine at the time, went through the War of Independence, and then basically my grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins all are Israeli and only have Israeli citizenship. It's only my mum and my brother who were born there, thanks to my dad,
okay,
that we all have dual citizenship, and that's how I'm British Israeli.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, do you actually support the two-state solution?
I don't think it's a realistic approach.
Yes.
I think, and this is just my opinion, from the inception of Israel as a country, the fact that it is a Jewish state that essentially follows the message of Jews first above all else displaces Palestinians,
right,
and their right,
yes,
to the land as,
yes,
well. And I think if Israel hypothetically was to exist at all, it would have to rewrite a lot of its laws from the ground up in the Knesset, and as well as its social attitudes.
Yes. Yes.
And that is, you basically have to completely rewrite the country.
Yes.
And it's
but
ridiculous.
currently, what is your opinion? I have an opinion that,
mm-hmm,
that currently the state is a racist state, it's an apartheid state,
mm-hmm,
it's a genocidal state, as,
mm-hmm,
we have seen,
mm-hmm,
and it's also a terrorist state. This is, mm-hmm, this is my opinion. These are,
mm-hmm,
very,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
kind of, some people think it's a very harsh opinion, but why, mm-hmm, I don't know why when it comes,
yeah,
to Israel, it's,
yeah,
harsh, and when it when we're talking about Russia,
yeah,
or ISIS,
yeah,
and other entities around the world,
I agree,
committing
I think
acts of terrorism.
I do think it's very interesting that,
yeah,
there is, because I think, I do think that America and England and a lot of the West sees, and we might agree with this, sees Israel as like a post for like their opinions and their standpoint
the last,
and their influence.
One of the last colonial outposts.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that, I do think that...
And that's what you're advocating. You're saying that give some of the land to the last colonial outpost. When you say two-state solution works, or you're a proponent of it, you're actually claiming that we must give part of the land to a terrorist entity or a colonial entity, for that matter.
I can see how it may look that way, to,
yeah,
be honest.
But it does, it's real.
Regularly, I think that my friend here is really rather good and articulate.
Yeah.
Mm. If you focus, if you go, we can do this anytime. Mm.
But I...
Well, do it, I'm not running away.
Okay, no problem.
Sure,
no problem.
I'm trying to hand the camera space,
yeah,
back to her, because I think she's...
Yeah, yeah. No, this is very interesting, because we need more Jewish voices,
yeah,
to talk about this.
I think,
because,
yes,
because a lot of people out there, they think,
mm-hmm,
that all the Jews in the world,
yeah, they've got that prejudice.
Yeah.
They've got that.
Yeah.
I also,
yeah,
think that,
yeah,
one of the things I had to overcome, because remember, as a Jewish, British, Israeli, I have the Jewish diaspora narrative,
yeah,
and I also have the Israeli narrative.
Right.
And I also have those social circles that I need to, well, to even approach narratives outside,
right,
is seen as a very strong stigma, and let alone to have those conversations at home.
Mm.
That's a completely other ball,
yeah,
of can of worms,
yeah,
you know? And I do think that one of the hardest things to do, because I do think for people that are pro-Israel, but also people that are pro-Palestine, you can see that a lot of the conversations are just within their own communities.
Mm.
And people aren't willing to, well, not maybe that they're not willing, but they have a stigma of even the idea of approaching and speaking to people of the other narrative.
Right.
And I think it's really important to have an open mind and listen to opinions that you may think you disagree with,
yeah,
but then come to a realization of there's a lot of parallels,
yeah,
here.
But do you think this current situation in Gaza has actually changed the minds of many young Israelis and Jewish
people? Okay, so there are a bunch of far, there is a bunch of left-wing organizations in Israel that have started to gain some traction.
Right.
We're talking about the Omdin Beyachad movement, which is standing together, talking about breaking the silence.
Yeah.
We're also talking about diasporan movements, which are really starting to grow outside of Israel in the Jewish circles.
But people like Abby, what's her name, that journalist?
I'm not sure.
She's called Abby. Does anyone know that journalist's name? Abby. She went recently to Israel and she interviewed a lot of Israelis. Abby Martin. Martin.
Mm-hmm.
She's a journalist and she has interviewed a lot of Israelis and she thinks mm-hmm. that Israelis are all genocidal. I mean, she's saying there are 1-2% maybe, you know, who don't agree with the government,
mm-hmm.
but majority of the overwhelming majority mm-hmm. of the Israelis, they are speaking a genocidal language. They want the Arabs mm-hmm. or the Palestinians, for that matter, to be wiped out.
Yeah. So
on the
face
of the earth.
I think that. I think that those that think the Israelis that have opinions alongside mine.
Yeah.
Are definitely a minority.
Right.
Are definitely a minority. I do also think that the narrative that you're saying of how they are framing a denial of genocide and a complete lack of acknowledgement to the suffering of Palestinian civilians.
Right.
I also agree. I think that's present.
Why is that the case? I mean,
there's censorship, and also, okay, so. So at home, we've got the Israeli news going on, like pretty often, N12 and everything. Like,
but how can you brainwash? Walaikum salam. How can you brainwash an entire population? Israelis are very educated people.
You get born and raised in it, and you have there is generational trauma that gets exasperated as part of the narrative, as part of the excuse.
The Holocaust and
the Holocaust trauma, and any form of attack that the West Bank or Gaza has done, and as retaliation to what the Knesset has been doing, it's always from the perspective of. Secondary, and that's because when you look at if you ever look at Israeli news, you'll notice that currently, post October 7th, the narrative is focused on the hostages and only the hostages. No
Correct.
Mention of the effect of Palestinian citizens who have no active involvement with their government or even
the policies or
yes or like you know maybe like their cousin was involved and then all of a sudden like they're now part they're deemed by the IDF as part of this network and everything.
Yeah,
it is a really it is a very racist approach if you ask me. It's my opinion, and I do think that this is really stemming from the foundation of the country itself. The foundation of its country, with it being Jews having this homeland according to our ethno-religious roots,
yes.
above all else, and no matter what, we must protect it, with generational trauma feeding into that instinct, has led to this really extreme response and this narrative that just has spread through what, three generations now?
Yeah.
Three generations of people being born into this narrative.
Yeah,
and born into, and also where going into the IDF is mandatory. It's, you've got forced conscription, not forced,
and
mandatory
then you get
conscription.
When you're there.
Yes.
During the training, you're.
Yes.
You're
and what's really
made
interesting.
Made into a nationalist.
But then also, coincidentally, that's also how the Breaking the Silence movement came out. Because people that grew up into the system and then all of a sudden were stationed in the West Bank or stationed in the Gaza border, and they see for themselves the narrative which is not presented to Israeli civilians on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
It is completely ignored.
Yeah.
They are not aware of what is really the real violence and the real catastrophe of a lot of innocent people there that's going on.
Yeah.
And it's
but I think things are changing now because social media has enabled many Israeli youngsters to see the other side, albeit in a very limited capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But many young Israelis, because they're the future.
Yes.
Okay, Netanyahu is not the future.
Agreed.
Netanyahu is going to die.
Agreed, yeah.
Sooner or later. Okay.
Sooner or later.
And better sooner than later. I hope that, you know.
Yeah.
A genocidal maniac like that, God takes him as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. This lady is actually, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe.
A little closer, I don't know.
So, Yeah, the can we move back? Can we move back?
I'm having trouble.
We have company.
Sorry.
Yeah. Let's go there.
Do you need
let's
a hand with it?
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
I think you overestimate the power of absolute monarchs.
Now she realized she was actually doing something. Yeah. I prefer this background.
Okay. Oh yeah, we've got some nice green.
Yeah. So I believe that it will happen eventually. Humanity will prevail. Justice will prevail. Look.
Yes.
Look, there is a lot of misunderstanding even within the Israeli citizens that the Arabs want them dead.
Yeah.
The Arabs.
And that's where a lot of the fighting protective instinct of like. Because in their minds, there is a really strong idea that it's Israel or we don't exist.
Exactly.
And
this is the propaganda.
It's that fear.
That's. It's a deliberately instilled fear that serves the purpose of the IDF or the Israeli ruling establishment.
Yeah.
And it's a false narrative. Mm-hmm. This is what I have been dealing with personally because I'm a historian. And I've been talking about how the Jewish people flourished. For over 1,000 years within the domain of Islam.
When
the Jewish people were heavily persecuted in Western Europe. Okay, I don't know how much of a history, all the pogroms.
So my family's Ashkenazi.
Okay.
And my great-grandpa that came into British Palestine.
Right.
He was, he and his wife ended up being the only survivors of his family. Every Ashkenazi Jew has a story like this.
Yeah, but Ashkenazis were always a minority, historically speaking.
Yeah.
It were the Sephardic Jews who were the majority. I know there is this conflict between the
Ashkenazi and Sephardis.
Sephardic Jewry and Ashkenazi Jewry.
Yeah.
But for over 1,000 years, people like Jacob Lesner, he's a Jewish historian from the US, he's talked about it, that for over 1,000 years, nearly 1,000 years, the Sephardic Jews were the majority, because they were living in the Muslim domains. That's why they were called the Sephardic. The Sephard was basically...
They were expelled from the Iberian Peninsula and then came through Turkey,
and then North Africa.
Yeah.
First, these were the first, those who did escape, those who did survive. So for over 1,000 years, the overwhelming majority of the Jewish people were living in the Muslim lands. The oldest Jewish population in the world was in Iraq. At one point, half the population of Baghdad was out of 200,000, 80,000 were Jewish people.
Yeah.
This is according to the testimony of this lady who visited Baghdad in the early 20th century. I forgot her name. She was an archaeologist and she was very active with Lawrence of Arabia as well. She was one of the political agents and she advised the first King Faisal of Iraq. Long story. She actually describes Baghdad as, to some extent, a Jewish city. You had 80,000 Jewish people living in Baghdad out of 200,000 population, which is phenomenal. Yeah.
So many case studies are like this as well. It's same with the Romani Jews in Greece.
Yeah.
One of the coastal cities, one of the port cities, it was essentially a Jewish people that created it was through textiles and just local business. They flourished the city.
Almost everything. Yeah. Everything that was profitable, the Jewish people were flourishing during the Ottoman period in Ottoman territories.
And there was a very strong history of coexistence as
100%.
Well.
There are Jewish scholars who claim that from the year 900 to 1200, 300 years, this was the golden age of the House of Israel under the domain of Islam. And this was predominantly in Islamic Spain, in Al-Andalus, where we had prime ministers, generals, scholars, poets, philosophers, you name it. Rambam, famous Maimonides, was born in Cordoba.
Oh, okay.
And he died in Egypt, in Ayyubid Egypt. He was the private physician to the Sultan himself. This is the history that's not told by the state. Why would they?
No, yeah.
To the Israeli people. Yeah. If the Israeli people were to realize that we have no threat coming from the Arabs or the Muslims in general, because we have a history of 1,000 years. Yeah. It's so vast, it's so huge, it's so rich, it's unbelievable.
I know.
But the Israeli propaganda and doing injustice to the people of Israel as well, them for their...
I think what can be very interesting as well is how... you know how post a lot of Mizrahi Jews, when Israel was founded, call it Nakba, call it War of Independence, whatever you want to call it, they didn't want the state to exist. Right. And when it was founded under an incredibly bloody pretense,
right,
and extremely violent and like absolutely disastrous of like the outcomes of it,
right,
there was a lot of whiplash. There was a really strong whiplash effect to the Jewish citizens in these neighboring territories, and this ended up feeding
into the Arab territory. Yeah, absolutely.
And
this ended up
feeding into the territories where you've got like Operation Magic Carpet and so forth, where they're basically mass.
No, there is this theory that some of the Zionists were deliberately carrying out acts of violence in some of these Muslim territories for the Jewish people to feel threatened enough for them to move to Israel.
Yeah.
Because they needed people to move to Israel. Yeah. So a lot of Yemenis and Iraqis and Moroccan Jews and Tunisians and Libyans, they ended up in what came to be known as the State of Israel.
Yeah, and they are diehard for Israel because they're within their lifetime of experience, or their grandparents' lifetime of experience, was of absolute violence of their original homelands. Well, their native homelands, maybe. But not.
Do you feel there's enough? There is enough Jewish element that's influential enough to make a difference currently today in the world.
This is something that I'm really hopeful for, and I think as a younger generation that has more optimism just in itself, I think. We are seeing both, because there are two places where convincing needs to be done. Convincing needs to be done in the Jewish diaspora,
yes,
and convincing needs to be done to Israeli citizens.
How do we do that?
So
what
do
you propose?
I think the easiest place to start, and we're seeing that now, especially with from back in 2018, where there were those peaceful protests on the Gaza borders that the IDF then struck back on. The narrative that a lot of diaspora Jews are starting to wake up to is that there is a really, really strong and heavily biased narrative that has been placed on us, right, essentially since birth in these circles.
Yes.
And we need to look further out and see that mistreatment is absolutely not the answer and not what we're looking for. And with movements like If Not Now, When?
There are no mics on her. And she's the one who's talking.
Wait, how many have you got now?
I don't know. I'm losing count.
As
they say, you know, it's free for all.
Yeah.
Fair game.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think what I would like to say is I'd like to say as someone who is more diasporan than I am Israeli, having grown up in Britain, but with that culture.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be easier to start in the diaspora.
Absolutely.
And once because we have easier access to the narrative that Israel, outside of what Israel is giving.
Yeah.
And I think by going to these movements and going to these protests and having our voices be heard in these circles and having the general public be aware that there are Jewish people and there are Israelis with these opinions that understand the origins of what the country came from and what the country is currently doing and the injustices of that, I think that we can start to have civilized conversations with people on both sides.
You know, it was very refreshing and encouraging to see so many Jewish people in New York in particular to come out and condemn what Israel is doing.
Absolutely.
And them saying, not in our name, don't use our name, don't claim this is a Jewish state. It's like ISIS. Mm-hmm. ISIS claiming that we represent Islam and Muslims. Mm. And they were like a little tiny extremist minority that was committing these acts of violence and terrorism.
But that also helped fulfill a Western narrative as well, to be fair.
You see, so narratives are very important, and they have to be made available to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, as a historian, what I do is I talk more about peaceful coexistence between the Jewish people and the Muslims in general, because that helps people understand that there is no historic vendetta, there's no historic enmity, there's no historic, desire, for that matter, to brutalize the Jewish people and take away their right of being being or living,
yeah.
for that matter. This propaganda, the evil propaganda the Zionist state has been using for a long time,
mm-hmm.
to the extent that there are academics,
mm-hmm.
Zionist academics, mm-hmm. scholars, mm-hmm. who have spent their lifetimes simply to study history and create a new narrative, the clash mm-hmm. of civilizations, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So what a lot of the Zionists have been doing, they've been claiming this Judeo-Christian heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's never been like that. Amazingly, there was no Judeo-Christian heritage. It doesn't exist. You know why? Because the Judeo element was always persecuted in the West.
Yeah.
There was never a time in Western history when the Jewish people lived in peace. I'm saying all the way up to the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, even as late as now. I mean, we have the Holocaust in Germany to talk mm-hmm. about. Okay, mm-hmm. and this is not the first time mm-hmm. when the Jewish people were brutalized. The history goes back a long time, a long way.
Yeah.
I
mean, just to expand on that, the reason the diaspora is to the extent of it, of what it is today,
yeah.
where you've got Mizrahi, Bet Israel, Ashkenazi, Sephardi, like you name it,
yeah.
essentially spreading to every continent in the world was a result of continuous displacement and removal.
Absolutely.
And just,
That wasn't the case in the Muslim world.
Mm.
That is definitely the case in the Christian world. In Christendom,
mm.
the Jewish people had to move from time to time, from place to place, because they were being banished.
Yeah, to the whims of whichever the monarchy was thinking
exactly.
at the time.
Like King Edward I, the famous Edward the Longshank, mm. who was buried in Westminster Abbey.
Mm.
The king of William, sorry, not William, what was his name? The freedom fighter, the Scottish...
William Wallace,
yeah, exactly,
okay.
William Wallace.
Okay.
You know, there's this famous movie, Braveheart.
Yes.
One of my favorites.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Classic.
The first time it came out, you know, I really loved the story, but it's still a lot of fantasy there, right?
Mm.
That king, Edward I, was responsible for banishing thousands of Jews.
Mm-hmm.
English Jewry was completely wiped out.
Mm.
They were completely, they had to leave England,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it was only later when the Jewish people came back to Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when the Zionists and their dogs, if you like, mm. sorry, to use a very brutal term,
mm.
right? When they like to put out this narrative that there is a Judeo-Christian coalition that is dealing with this Islamic threat in the world, Islamic extremism, Islamic fundamentalism,
yeah.
Islamic terrorism, this is all a lie.
Mm.
It's all a lie. You're painting a civilization deliberately, and it's a bunch of extremists,
mm-hmm.
these Zionists who are a very small minority within mm-hmm. the Jewish people. Unfortunately, they have somehow managed to get a lot of Jewish people to their side.
Well,
it is very unfortunate.
You know, okay. it's yeah. very interesting actually, because you know, as someone who grew up in these circles, I've seen both within Israel and within the diaspora.
Yeah.
There has been a melding of the Jewish state and Judaism.
Right.
And it has gotten to the point where to be Jewish is to also support Israel.
Right.
And that's the narrative that
yes.
has been
Absolutely.
Created.
Absolutely.
I think one of the most difficult things I had coming down this journey of like researching my country's history and coming to terms with what's happened and everything. Was first of all just giving the other side a chance to speak, for me to listen.
Yes.
And secondly, also to understand that there is a difference between my ethno-religion and the Jewish state.
Right.
And one is not dependent on the other existing.
Yes.
And
that's never
yeah.
the case, even
mm-hmm.
in Islam,
mm-hmm.
as Muslims.
Yeah.
We don't say that a particular state represents the religion of Islam. That would be a mistake.
Mm.
That would be a disaster. You know why?
Mm.
Because let's say that state decides to do something crazy, like what the Israelis are doing today to the people of Palestine, right? Now that brings bad light on the religion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is why throughout our history, 1,400 years of mm-hmm. Islamic history, we have never claimed that a particular state definitely
mm-hmm.
represents Islam, okay?
Mm.
Or I must rephrase it. There was never a state in our history that completely, fully followed the rules of Islam. Mm. To the, I mean, we can say the earliest period was the best, okay, when the early Islamic expansion was taking place. But we had later dynasties, as great as they were, as magnificent as their legacy is, as, you know, as tolerant as they had been to the Jews and the Christians and others. And of course, there were periods of disturbance as well, okay. We don't say they actually represent Islam. Okay, apart from the very early period, the Prophet and his earliest companions and caliphs, we believe they were the best people to walk the planet. They did their best to do to as much as they could. Even the Prophet himself was very fair with the Jewish people. People, a lot of the times, people talk about one particular incident.
Unfortunately, I've yet to read the Quran. I have a copy at home.
You must read the Quran to start with, and read the life of Prophet Muhammad. And another thing I would like you to read is how the Jewish people actually lived with the Muslim civilization for over 1,000 years.
Yeah.
That's a very
interesting... It's a narrative that's not talked about.
It is a completely lost narrative. It's only known to academics, and even those academics who specialize in it. If you go to any standard historian who studies history, let's say, of Europe or the Islamic world, they wouldn't be necessarily aware of this particular side of the Islamic history, okay, or the Jewish history, let's say. Okay, there are experts who have studied it. Unfortunately, most of them are Jewish, and many of them are Zionist. Okay, and I'm not saying only Jewish people are responsible for this. I'm saying Muslims also need to study that history, which I have done to some extent, and we need to put this narrative out, because a lot of people don't understand this. People think Jews and Muslims are basically two worlds apart, and they don't they don't want to be with each other, they don't want to live with each other. This is the Zionist state of Israel. This is the narrative they created, and they're pumping it quite successfully. There are people, journalists, politicians, who are pumping that politician. Yes.
I also think it's just ridiculous as well, because, like, we're all following an Abrahamic religion.
Absolutely. Yes.
And we all claim the same origin.
We claim the same origin. Yes. I know. We know the differences. How the Jewish people practice and believe in their religion. How the Christians went their way and the Muslims. Yes, please. Yeah.
Same question on me with the idea. What do you two think is the best way forward?
That would be interesting. I have a perspective on this. That's a very good question. I forgot your name.
Tony.
Sorry. Tony is asking this question. Tony is asking this question, that what is the way forward? What is the solution? Now, we know the history somewhat, and we know the narrative of the Zionist state of Israel, and we know how some Jewish people feel about the state of Israel. What is the way forward? Would you want to say first, or shall I say first?
Please go first.
I think the way forward is to, first of all, not have the Zionists to be part of the discussion. Number one, because there is no peace with the Zionists. They will never want peace. They will never promote peace. It's like having ISIS on a table discussing peace with them. You're not going to have that. You're not going to have peace with a bunch of nutters who have committed a genocide. Would you discuss peace with Nazis? Simple question. After they committed the Holocaust, okay? It's like me coming to the people, to the world, saying to the UN or global leadership, sit with the Nazis and discuss peace and give a piece of Germany to them. No, I would never propose. So the world has to wake up. The first step in the right direction is the world has to realize that Zionism is poison. It's an extremist ideology. It is inherently racist. It is unfair, unjust, and it has to be confronted head on. Unfortunately, it's very powerful. It's very influential. It has many politicians in its pockets, as we have seen recently, how all these presidents and prime ministers have been making these amazingly, shockingly shocking statements, like, you know, they have no. I mean, of course, they are condemning some of the actions of the state of Israel. For example, the British personnel who were killed recently,
World Kitchen,
the aid workers who were killed. Okay, 20,000 children have died to date. Okay, many more thousands have been permanently disabled. Okay, this is a genocide. This is an absolute genocide. And the world feels very powerless somehow to express their disgust on this. So we have to, the step in the right direction would be to take control of the territory, remove the Zionists from the picture, and then sit with the Jewish leadership of the world, legitimate Jewish leadership, and the Muslims, primarily the Palestinians, the legitimate Palestinian leadership, whoever you may think they are, whoever you may think they are. You don't like Hamas, no problem. You don't like Hamas, don't sit with them. But bring the Palestinian leadership, legitimate Palestinian leadership that represents the Palestinian people. Sit with them, bring the Jewish people on the table, and find a solution.
Yeah.
And the solution, if you want to apply democracy, sorry?
Are you saying that leadership is the legitimate leadership of Hamas?
No, I'm not. I didn't say that. We don't know. We'll have to find. We'll have to find out. Okay. So if the world wants peace in the Middle East, and we are serious about it, Netanyahu has to be sent to Hague. He has to go to the Hague. He has to be put on trial, just like Saddam Hussein was pulled out of the whole, literally, you know, you saw the footage.
Yeah.
Saddam Hussein was actually pulled out, dragged out of the hole, and he was put on trial. Okay, Milosevic and all those guys, we managed to, you know, put them on trial for war crimes. Here we have a war crime in front of our eyes, right under our noses, right? We saw a huge number of children completely decimated. These are human beings. I always talk about this. If I took a cat today, right now in front of all these cameras, and I twisted the neck of that cat, this lady standing next to me, this very respectful, beautiful Jewish lady, she would attack me first. She would say, "What the hell are you doing? This is absolutely mad. This is crazy. Why would you do something like that, right?"
It would be a verbal attack.
If you intervened physically, I would fully understand why you did that. Because you're doing the right thing. But we have 20,000 children buried alive, right? So something has to be done. So that's my solution. And if I speak with the Muslim hat on, and Muslim hats come in many different colors and styles, yeah? Put anyone you like, any hat, any type you like on my head. The Afghan pakol or the long, whatever hat, right? If I put my Muslim hat on, I believe the solution is Islam. Ruling as a political entity, because, for example, I'll qualify. Okay, if Muslims are allowed to rule this territory, because Muslims are the only people, historically speaking, who brought the three faiths together in harmony. From the time Muslims took Jerusalem, or the land of Palestine, this is the first time when the Jews, Christians, and Muslims lived together, historically speaking. Who says so? People like Karen Armstrong. Okay, Karen Armstrong has written a history of Jerusalem, right? In that book she states, and I think page 242, she states, if I'm not mistaken, 240 or 242, she states that Muslims came with a system that brought for the first time three Abrahamic faiths under one domain in one piece of land together for the first time. That's what she said. I'm paraphrasing her words, right?
So,
yeah, you can. So we're going to come to her first.
Am I right in saying your summary is broadly a Muslim state?
No.
With the Muslim hat, with the Islam hat.
Why do I say that? When the Christians are ruling Palestine, they banished the Jewish people on pain of death. The Jewish people were removed from Palestine by Emperor Hadrian when the revolt of Bar Kokhba happened in 132 CE.
Right.
The first time the Jewish people were sent into diaspora, into exile in the world, was by the Romans. Emperor Hadrian in 132 CE, when the revolt was crushed brutally by the Romans, the city was leveled, razed to the ground, and renamed Elia after the emperor's name, Elias Hadrianus. No, I'm not. The term Islamic State has become tarnished because of ISIS, unfortunately. So when people use this loaded term, they actually, what comes to mind is like, Well, let me finish. I'm finishing right now. So when the Jewish people got their power, I mean, technically, if Israel is a Jewish state, which I believe it's not, look at what Muslims did with Islam. for over 1,000 years, they ruled this territory. Different dynasties, by the way, different dynasties, starting from the caliphate, the earliest caliphate, the Abbasids, the Umayyads, the Abbasids, and then the Ottomans, right, and the Mamluks. All of these dynasties ruled the land of Palestine, and Jewish people were some of the most prosperous people in this land for all that time. We had rabbinical courts, we had Jewish merchants, physicians, philosophers, thinkers, right, living. It was only during the time of the Crusade when all of this peace was disrupted. The Crusaders came in, massacred the Jewish people, mm-hmm. massacred the Armenian Christians and the Muslims. So my claim is, one of the solutions is, sorry Tony, you started me.
I can't dispute any of your history.
Yeah.
My immediate concern would be, no matter what the previous generations have done, the generations right now who are locked into this.
Yes. So the world needs to get involved.
To what extent, what's the best way forward so they can coexist now? The history you're telling
as,
me...
As I said, the global international community, the Arabs and the Western world, they need to wake up and smell the coffee, and they need to realize if they don't stop this, it's not going to stop. There will be more genocides, there will be more wars, there will be more killing.
The cycle of violence is the called cycle, a cycle,
and it may spread.
Reason.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. No, my solution I've put forward.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that with the experiences that I have, and I'm only one generation of three and plus in the establishment and existence of the State of Israel. I think we have a problem where there is such a strong narrative in the land of seeing Palestinians as an enemy, and seeing as if we don't hit them, they will hit us, they will eradicate us. That creates that fear, that creates the fear-based response that they have. One of the most difficult things that would need to be done is just to sort of start to work towards changing that narrative in the country, and to start seeing that for those citizens, that it's not us or them, it's about coexistence.
Yes.
It's about coexistence, because for a lot of Israelis that were born and raised on that land, that is the only citizenship and the only identity and the only land they know.
Yeah.
And a lot
albeit imposed and
absolutely.
Super imposed. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
And but yeah. these people also don't have, well, my people don't have control over previous generations' actions.
Yes.
They were just born and raised in a country that had a certain narrative and a certain amount
absolutely.
Of censorship set upon them.
Absolutely. This current generation cannot be blamed for the crimes of the... We cannot blame Tony for all the crimes the British Empire committed around the world. So, continue.
Yeah. So I think sort of extending on that, a sort of re-acknowledgement of history and a fresh approach to the education and understanding of Israel's history, and an acknowledgement of the Palestinian narrative that isn't mentioned in the education system. That's one of the first things to sort of talk about. The second sort of approach would be, like, I mean, in an idealistic way, in my opinion, I would talk about if Israel was to have any form of like introspection and to like self-reflect and to understand like the amount of change that needs to be done, and unimaginable amount of rules would need to be rewritten from the ground up, essentially, because there are so many rules that are in place that put Jewish people first, Jewish rights first, Palestinian rights second, that goes in both of those directions.
Yeah, yeah.
That is just, as you said, you know, that is a racist standpoint, and that is an unjust and unmoral standpoint. So those would have to be rewritten as well. And if we go super ideal, in my opinion,
like I did as well.
Yeah, if we go super ideal, I also agree that it should be a one state. I don't think a Jewish state is the answer.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if a Palestinian state, if an Islamic state is the answer.
I'm not even proposing that.
Yeah.
Not that title, at least.
No, not that title. Fine. And I'll apologize for my wording on that.
It could be Ottomans too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ottomans part two or something like that. I mean, it could be anyone. Look, the point, I think we both agree that as long as the Jews and the Muslims and the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And the atheists, the Bedouins. Yeah, absolutely. Anyone, all human beings can live in harmony, mm-hmm. peacefully, and there is law and order,
mm-hmm.
and law applies to all equally.
Yeah.
Okay? As long as that can be achieved, we're happy.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah.
So, blessed is the man who meditates day and night on the law of the Lord. If we were doing that, if the Jews were judging by their work and the teachings they were given, they put out the forefront, they wouldn't be merciful to Christ.
Look, the problem is not all Jewish people are religious.
Mm.
Not all Jewish people actually follow the rabbinical version of Judaism. Mm. Likewise, not all Palestinians are religious. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Fatah leadership,
and not all Palestinians are Muslim.
Yeah.
We've got Christian Palestinians as well.
Yeah, we have Christian Palestinians, we have Muslim Palestinians, we have atheist Palestinians,
mm-hmm.
right? So there has to be a solution that accommodates for...
I mean... Yeah.
No, they don't. Unfortunately.
I think, so going down this rabbit hole of super idealistic, I think a secular one state where from the laws of the ground up that states that... the Israelis that exist are allowed to, especially if they only have single citizenship.
Why does it have to be secular? I mean, if it's about
sorry,
the legal.
Sorry, I would like to finish my statement.
Sorry,
because I don't want to be cut halfway.
I'll come back on it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I do think that in a one state secular state that has made sure that the narrative is. Having the entire viewpoint presented of its history and historical wars and mistakes that were made, that it should also, from the foundation up, say that both Palestinians have an absolute right to return and freedom to roam and freedom to take land that was theirs and re-establish themselves there, but also Israelis that currently presently exist there. With considering that they, you know, from as my example, like down to my grandparents being around, and that's the only identity they have. They also, in my opinion, have a right to remain as well. But it's about having an approach of coexistence and equality.
Yes.
Equal treatment. Equal.
Agreed. Yes.
Equal approach.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, and I don't know. I don't have an answer for how to get to that point, but I just agree. I think that a re-education needs to be done and a rewriting of so many laws needs to be done.
Absolutely. And I think we pretty much agree.
Mm.
And isn't that amazing that a Jewish lady and a Muslim man are agreeing mm-hmm. on these many of these principles? We may disagree on the model.
Mm-hmm.
She may propose a secular model,
mm-hmm.
which I think is impractical. Okay. Mm. I may propose an Islamic model because I have reasons to propose that model and she has reasons to propose her model, right? Mm. But we both agree that we need a model that brings different faiths,
mm-hmm.
different people together,
mm-hmm.
and has a law that applies to all equally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and there's another issue that is being neglected and ignored. There is a lot of trauma that will have to be dealt with.
Absolutely.
There is PTSD.
That's a big can of worms.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. 100%. I think one of the...
So she's... Yeah, she was making a point that you can... Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
You just came now. Yeah? We have discussed it extensively. Yeah. Watch the video. Inshallah, mm-hmm. it's going to come out soon. It's going to be on, I don't know how many channels. But anyway, yeah. But we have discussed it. Yeah.
What is the solution between them? What they need to do, Palestinian and Israel, in that country?
We have discussed it in detail. Just now, we discussed it in the last 15-20 minutes, I think, mm-hmm. we discussed it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've lost the point. Where were we?
Okay.
Yes.
We both agree that.
Yeah.
I spoke about history, how historically, and under the Muslims, the Jews and the Christians were living together in Palestine for a very long time. Okay. That's my solution. I'm saying, if we don't have another model that works, we can go back to that model. Mm-hmm. How we will do it, details can be discussed by people, relevant people. Mm-hmm. But I call the original model to me is the model of my prophet and what he left behind in his teachings. And when we did apply those teachings, why did the Jewish people survive for over 1,000 years under the Muslim domain? The Jewish people were the most vulnerable people as a community in the world. There are many reasons for that. Because of possibly indulging in usury. Okay, a lot of Jewish people were indulging in riba, what we call riba, usury. Okay, and they were hated for that. Throughout European territories, one of the reasons why Jewish people were hunted repeatedly and hated by the masses was because of interest, because of usury, right? And that's why the kings had to protect.
I think when it comes to historical displacements, it's kind of ends up in a way being a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy with Judaism, where when Jewish people get displaced and then move to a new land, they establish themselves, but they also ostracize themselves from the wider majority.
Ghettoized.
And they just sort of, you know, it's sticking to themselves from probably even at that point some generational trauma. Hmm. But then the native residents that are aware that the Jewish people have moved in and have started to work in the local economy and certain businesses, that at normal, I would assume that initially it's a neutral standpoint to this group of immigrants coming in, and then typically when things started going wrong historically in one way or another, it was an easy finger to point to, and you know, Ashkenazi Jews were these strange immigrants back in this era. It's just gotten to the point where whether Ashkenazi, Mizrahi, whatever, we've just assimilated into these local cultures. The point that I'm white, you know, that I look like this, and you know, and that's just, and you know, I have
and
white
was,
privilege.
There was intermarriage
that.
And conversions as well. I mean, there were conversions, and a lot of Ashkenazis do actually come from Eastern Europe, European territories. So that's another issue. That's something within the Jewish people themselves. And these. But that the problem is because not all Jewish people are following the religion, and just like not all Palestinians are religious. Okay.
I think the religion does create a really good moral standpoint to build up from, but it's also really important to write laws.
Yes.
It's also really important to write laws.
And
I think there's two separate. There is a moral and religious law. There's a moral and religious law, and then there is the rest. The separation, I think, is what can hold in a court of law. The separation is, I think, what can hold in a court of law.
Even the term court of law can be relative because the Jewish people could have their own courts, bet dins. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Muslims have their the court of the qadi, the Muslim judge. Okay, so I mean, if you're in a secular country, then the laws are secular laws, and you're in a secular court.
But okay, even secular countries, I mean, the idea of what morals are, and my opinion, they stem from religion. Religion.
Well, to an extent, yes.
The moral standpoints and ethical and questions of what is ethical and what is moral. Religion, just as a question in context, just sort of brought to the table for early civilization what is okay for a just society.
And the problem with secular societies is that the laws keep changing by the changes of the society. Okay, so
necessarily a bad thing?
It could be sometimes, because sometimes you will make laws that don't necessarily represent the interests of the people, the masses. Well, okay, for example, I'll give you an example. This issue of males ending up in female toilets because there is this. Okay. I mean, there are many. There. Okay. I agree. I agree. It's going to open another discussion.
Yeah.
I agree. But I'm saying, look. When people change, societies change. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sometimes societies come to agree on things that are immoral.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Germans predominantly were fully behind Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
When Hitler was doing what he was doing to the Jewish people,
mm-hmm.
He had the sympathy of the majority of the German people, not all Germans, of course. Mm-hmm. I know that. Okay, just like today Abby Martin is claiming mm-hmm. that the Israeli people
mm-hmm.
are predominantly, the overwhelming majority is behind the state and the actions of the state. Now, if they start making, the reason why mm-hmm. the Israeli state is getting away with these racist apartheid laws is because mm-hmm. they have managed to convince the majority of mm-hmm. the Israelis mm-hmm. As to the correctness of these laws.
Yeah, I mean, the fact
and this is the problem with secular model.
Okay.
This is what my issue is.
Mm-hmm.
When you have religious texts, okay, their morality is determined.
Mm-hmm.
It's all already established. You cannot make something immoral stated in the scripture and make it moral. It's not going to happen, right? Because mm-hmm. pens have been listed, lifted, papers are dry. So you cannot change divine law or God's law. But with secular system, mm-hmm. with a secular solution, that threat will always remain. If you manage to convince the masses mm-hmm. on a disaster, on a catastrophe,
yeah.
or on a racist law,
mm-hmm.
like what happened in the American South,
mm-hmm.
okay,
yes.
With the Afro-Americans
mm-hmm.
and all the lynchings and
yeah.
all the so-called emancipation yeah. and post-emancipation,
mm-hmm.
this is, yeah.
I mean, I
right.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, well, I
ethically, I take far more issue with you. Politically, this is fantastic. I think everyone's loving it.
Yeah. Right. I'm.
The ethical assertions you made about control the what kind of state.
Yeah, yeah, I think yeah. we're thank you. I think we're digressing, yes.
Yeah.
So I think we have pretty much expressed our views.
Yep.
And we agree on a lot of things. I'm very happy.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, what's your name?
Tal.
Tal. Yeah. Very happy to talk to Tal anytime
mm-hmm.
in the future. If you come to the park, we'll continue discussing. We
mm-hmm.
need more people like you.
Yeah.
We need more voices, Jewish voices.
The voice is growing. The voice is growing.
I'm so happy
I want people to be aware
that
the diasporan voice is very much growing, and even in Israel, the voice is growing. The minority is coming out, and people are starting to talk, and people are starting to listen. So make sure you listen, you let us listen as well, please.
Absolutely, and this is why we're doing this exercise. The reason why we're having this conversation
mm-hmm.
is going to get out to potentially hundreds or thousands of people,
mm-hmm.
okay? And
yeah.
and I hope people can hear these voices.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Jewish lady, I'm
mm-hmm.
a Muslim man.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a very friendly conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We agree on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So this perception out there that there is conflict, this enmity, this is a lie,
mm-hmm.
this is not true. She's an educated lady.
Mm-hmm.
I am still trying to learn somewhat, okay? So we have a long way to go,
mm-hmm.
and we can bring back that coexistence, that feeling of compassion
mm-hmm.
and generosity and justice towards each other
mm-hmm.
that once existed among us. And we really have to look to the future. We have to plan
mm-hmm.
for the future
mm-hmm.
and talk more, represent our views more. And we want more Jewish voices. We want more Jewish voices to come forward and start speaking the right thing, start saying the right thing. And there are many, as Tal pointed out, and we saw lately on the news as well, that many people
mm-hmm.
are being heard and they're coming
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very glad to see that, especially the American
mm-hmm.
Jewish community that came out in New York. They
mm-hmm.
made us proud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we hope this can continue.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually there will be a day when we will see peace again in the Middle East. Inshallah.
Baruch Hashem.
On that note, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Genuinely.
I cannot.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Islamically, I'm not allowed to have physical contact.
I apologize. I wasn't aware,
no,
but thank you very much.
No worries. But thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.